Hello and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Joshua Peak. I'm showing you a little behind the scenes. What's going on? Ooh, scary. All right. Is this working? Hello. Today is April the 16th. 2019. And I'm doing this a little bit differently today. I'm setting up my microphone and showing you guys what's going on YouTube so that you can see sort of the setup of GarageBand. I've had some people contact me and ask, you know, how do you do the intro? How do you get your voice in there? What part does it do? You know, and it's one of those things where I thought, you know, well, surely everybody knows. There's no point in me showing behind the scenes crap like that, but I guess not. I guess some people just really have never seen it. So anyway, I just wanted to show that for you guys listening. Hello, how are you? Hope everybody's doing well. Let's start off on a heavy note. Okay. I'm going to go heavy and I'm going to get lighter. Okay. Does that sound good? So I'm at work on Monday. And I get a phone call early in the morning from my dad. He says, hey, how you doing? I said, good. How are you? He said, well, I'm okay. He said, just want to give you a heads up. My mom passed away. And so, you know, just want to let you know. Granny Peak, Nell Peak, she was 91 years old. And her birthday was coming up. The 26th of this month, she would have been 92. She was born in 1927. And she, for the last few years, has been in a nursing home and has not woken up much or spoken much. I went to visit Dad last year, and she woke up and talked to us for about 3 hours, just a bunch of gibberish, a bunch of stuff. And you can tell that the wires in her brain were sort of short-circuiting. She wanted to talk to us, but she couldn't. I don't know if she couldn't remember us or she couldn't remember what to say or couldn't remember how to put words together or what. You know, kind of the weird thing to me was that she kept looking at me and Dad and asking us, well, how's your mama doing? And she asked that of Dad several times, and he would always smile, and he'd say, oh, she's doing great, and I got to talk to her earlier today. And I sort of felt bad for him, but at the same time, I felt good for him because I know that she's lived a full life. I know that, you know, everybody she knows is in heaven waiting on her. Her sisters, her brothers, her parents, her husband, my granddaddy Peak. And, you know, the fact that she's no longer laying in a bed and suffering and just basically just existing, but not existing. You know what I mean? It's sort of like being a ghost stuck in a world that you don't belong to anymore. I made a comment to Dad about, you know, what if she was cognitive? What if she could tell us about what she thinks about today? And he said, I don't think she'd like it. I think that we're on this earth for a certain amount of time for a reason, because the world changes so much that it just becomes overwhelming. And I sort of thought about that. You know, I wasn't necessarily sad that she passed away. I was expecting her to pass away, if that makes any sense. It wasn't that I was, like, shocked. There was no shock. It's sort of like, you know, we actually talked about the fact of, I don't know why she's still hanging on. There's, like, everything has left her, even her mental cognitive abilities. She doesn't even know who we are, and she doesn't wake up, and you know, there's this point where your life is exhausted and you've done everything that you're meant to do and can do. And, you know, when I was younger, I used to think, you know, I wanted to live forever. And a buddy of mine read a book, you know, let me borrow a book one time about vampires. And it seemed so attractive to continue this journey and this life and be able to experience things forever. But maybe that's not the goal. Maybe that's, maybe you're only supposed to do this for a certain amount of time for a reason. So I don't want to look at her life as, You know, I don't want to look at it and go, golly, I can't believe it's all over and be sad. I want to look at it as a celebration of, wow, what a life she's lived, because she really has lived an incredible life. I'm going to go and pay my respects and be a pallbearer, and I'm heading down to Georgia tomorrow, and I'm going to see my cousins that I haven't seen in quite a while, and I'm hoping that we get a chance to sit around and talk and sort of reminisce and catch up, and I'm going to spend some time with my dad and my uncle, and, you know, just remember this lady and her wonderful life and what an impact she's had on us through the years. I sort of had an interesting relationship with her. Growing up, I would say that I was closer to my mom's parents because I spent more time with them. My mom and dad got divorced when I was two, and I spent a lot of time with my mom because of that. And my dad was an over-the-road truck driver, and it would have been easy for the Peaks to basically take their hands off the wheel and say, well, we'll get them whenever our son gets them, and if that's not often, then so be it. But they didn't do that. They took an active role. They called my mom, and my mom called them, and they kept that friendship and that, well, I wouldn't say a friendship, but it was a friendship. It wasn't just a cordial relationship. It was a friendship. They kept a friendship, and they kept in communication, and they would make sure to have me, to spend time with me, to request that I come stay with them at times during the summer, or, you know, invite me and mom up to stay with them just so they could spend time with me. And they went out of their way for me. They showed up for big events in life. My granny was always very put together. She always had her hair done just right. She always had her clothes cleaned and pressed just right. And it was completely different than my mom's parents, who were rough around the edges. I mean, they were a rough group of people. They were almost polar opposites of each other in a lot of ways. But they were good people in their own regard in different ways. The Peaks were always very wholesome, Christian, polite, and my mom's side of the family, not as much. Like I said, a little bit rougher, a little bit tougher, a little bit harder to be around sometimes because they're so brash, but loving all the same. I mean, here's the thing is, like, everybody around me was always, it was always centered around the idea of family and togetherness and love. And no matter what, somehow I was in the middle of it, and it always, everything was always fine. Like, everybody was there. And it is not lost on me the fact that I've lived a blessed life, and the fact that I've had my grandparents be active in my life for the majority of my life so far. I'm 44 years old, and I've had active grandparents in my life for most of my life. They've been there. They've been a part of my life. They've actively pursued spending time with me and helping raise me and getting to experience things with me. And I'm so thankful for that. Granny and Granddaddy Peak would show up at events in my life at special times, like my 16th birthday party. They showed up with a video camera. Granddaddy always had a video camera. I guess, you know, you could say that if YouTube would have been around then, he'd be a YouTube star. He loved to videotape stuff, and he loved to share, you know, what was going on and record what was going on so that he could look back at it later. And he recorded my life at different times. I saw him with a camera in his hand, and he was recording, and he would always smile, and, you know, Granny would always dote after us and love on us, and Granddaddy, with a proud smile on his face, would always come around, and she'd say, Charles, put the camera up. Just, you know, be here and enjoy this. And he's, okay, yeah. And he'd put the camera down for a while, and then he'd pick it back up and record some more. When I was 16 years old, I punched the floor over a girl. I was angry about something, and I punched the floor, and I broke my fist. They call it a boxer's fracture, because It's common in boxers where you roll your fist when you punch and you end up breaking bones on the small fingers behind your fit, behind your knuckles, because you're not meant to punch things that way. And being a young, full of energy and not much brains boy, I punched the floor and broke my fist over a girl and had to wear a cast. And for my 16th birthday party, my birthday's in May, I wanted a pool party. And we just happened to have an above ground pool. I had my friends over. It was cold, but I still wanted to get in the pool. And mom said, you can't get in the pool unless you either cover the cast in plastic so it doesn't get wet, or you swim with your arm outside the water and tell everybody not to splash it. So that's what I did. I swam in the pool with my arm above the water just because I wanted to be able to have a pool party at 16 years old. And the peaks were there with the camera, and they came just to hang out for the day. And it was a drive for them. They had to drive quite a while to get there. And they spent the day, and then they drove home. At my graduation, they showed up with the camera in hand, ready to record the whole thing. So proud, so happy. After graduation, hey, come spend some time with us. Okay. I went and spent, I think, a week or two with them. And it was great. It was wonderful. And anytime I could spend time with them, I enjoyed it. Even though I was trying to grow as a young man and trying to be my own independent person. And, you know, you tend to want to buck away from people who are, you know, trying to protect you and help you. I always stopped to listen to what they had to say because I knew they were always looking out for my best interests. All my grandparents, they were always looking out for my best interests. So no matter what, even when you don't want to listen to your own parents, I listened to my grandparents. And I watched my granny through the years as I had kids. When my son Draven was born, they showed up again, camera in hand, and Granny held Draven and sang to him, and Granddaddy recorded it, and it was beautiful. And when Granddaddy passed away, I watched Granny take on a new part of herself. I watched her become independent, and I watched her learn to live by herself. And she would say often how she couldn't wait to see Charles again. And she, like I said, they were people of faith. And she said over and over again, my time here is limited. I'm just here for a little bit, and then I'm going to go see Charles, and I get to hang out with my boyfriend again. They were always in love. They were always, you know, cute with each other and flirty with each other. And she always called him her boyfriend. Hey there, boyfriend. And he would just smile and laugh. And they loved each other, you know. In a generation of time where that didn't really happen much, where people were more private, they openly were affectionate with each other. Not to the point you're like, hey, get a room, but, you know, to the point it was cute and adorable and sweet and lovely. It was lovely. They were lovely. They are lovely. And Monday she passed away, and now she's with Charles. And I'm hoping that they are happy and that they are lovely together and that they are smiling at us. And Granddaddy's got a ghost camera filming us, smiling all the way, going, all right, you're doing a good job. I'm proud of you. Keep going. But yeah, so we're going to go see her body be put to rest. Now, listen, they're Christians, and I've said this before. I believe that when you die, you're not there anymore. And the rest of this, to me, is just for show. The casket, the whole body, the funeral, it's just for show. It's for the living. It's not for the dead. The dead are gone. Okay? I've been watching this show on Netflix, Adam Ruins Everything. And I guess it was originally on True TV because they advertised a little circle in the bottom corner. And I just watched an episode where they talked about death, and they talked about funeral home services and how 99% of all funeral homes out there are owned by one conglomerate group, one monopolizing group. And they buy up mom and pop's places just to keep the family name. But they streamline everything so that you always buy the corporate everything. You overpay on everything. You overpay on the services. You overpay on the actual casket. He said, let's face it, you're not there anymore. You're dead. And what does it matter that you're spending $10,000 on a casket or $500? It doesn't really matter. You're basically just throwing money in the ground. But people do it because it's sentimental and they love the people that are there, and they don't want to, you know, say they're hawking them in some plywood piece of wood or a sack. But what's really the difference other than the fact that you're putting on a show? And, you know, I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about the fact that when I'm not here anymore, I hope that my wife doesn't spend that kind of money. I'm hoping that she'll honor my wishes and I wouldn't mind being cremated. I wouldn't mind having my ashes scattered somewhere. You know, I know that I need to make that a thing. I need to put it in writing somewhere, but I don't see the point in taking up space when I'm not there anymore. If I have a soul, if there is a heaven, if I'm going there, then my body and the ceremony and the service and all that other stuff. I mean, have a service. Great. Get together. Reminisce. Remember. I've got YouTube videos. If you start to think, I wonder what he sounds like. I miss his face. Click on YouTube. Watch me. I'm talking all the freaking time. And I have a podcast with tens of listeners. I mean, come on. But you know, at some point you do have to have that discussion with the people around you, and you need to tell everybody what you want. Otherwise they're going to do with you what they want, and they could potentially waste a lot of money. And I don't want to say that she's wasting money or that they wasted money. I get it. I get it. I totally get it. I understand. I watched a show. This was just by coincidence. I watched a show on Netflix. It's Ricky Gervais. The show is called Afterlife. And you may have seen the advertisements for it on the opening scrolls whenever the thing comes on. It came out a couple weeks ago. It's a British woman on there. She's wearing a scarf on her head, and you can tell she has no hair. And she says, basically, she's leaving a video to her husband. She's passing away, and she knows she is. She has breast cancer, and she's leaving a message to her husband, Ricky Gervais, to remind him of all the things that she wants him to know. They have a dog. Don't forget to feed the dog. Don't forget to feed yourself. Don't forget to clean up. Go to the beach once in a while. You both love the beach and stuff like that. It's sad at times, but as you're watching it, you realize it's a very lovely movie, and it's full of love. It's full of his interactions with the people around him and how they care about him and how he's sad, and he has to figure out how or why to keep going. And he does. Spoiler alert, he does. But in there, he makes friends with another lady whose husband has passed away, and they're sitting on a bench looking at their spouse's gravestones together, and they're talking. And she tells him this quote, and it was so good I wrote it down in my phone. Old men plant trees he will never see grown, so they will be shade for future generations. And I thought that was lovely as well. You know, there's things that we do now that, not necessarily planting trees, quote unquote, but there are things that we do to hopefully make something better for the generations to come. If there is a, let's call it a legacy, that you leave behind. Granny Peak left a legacy of kindness and love and honesty and a good sense of humor. She always loved a joke, and she would always pull a prank or make a joke, and her laughter was infectious. And there are times where people want to say bad things, and she always chose to try to say the good thing. That's her. That's her planting a tree to me. It's not about what we do necessarily. We don't have to plant trees. We don't have to build things. We don't have to whatever. But we have an effect on each other. Just our interaction with each other can leave a legacy that is basically planting our tree. So I guess what I'm saying is go out there and plant trees. Make an impact on somebody. Do something positive for people. It will help. It will make an impact. It will affect their lives. So, let's switch gears a little bit, shall we? For the last, I don't know, couple months, I've started to watch and have completed watching a show called Parks and Rec, or Parks and Recreation Department. I don't exactly know the full title if that's necessary, but Parks and Rec, everybody knows. It's a good show. I don't know what channel it was on originally, but now it's on Netflix. And Amy Poehler is the main character. You may know her from Saturday Night Live. She is a public employee working for the government and working for the Parks and Rec Department. And the show evolves around her ambition and her hope to make her where she lives a better place. And in that process, she does a lot of good for her community. And the show is a comedy. The show is great. Chris Pratt, I guess, gets his acting start there and then becomes like a mega movie star. And they sort of have parts in the movie where he's not, or in the show where he's not there. And obviously that's where he's going off to make Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World and stuff like that. But you watch him evolve from a young man who's overweight and sort of a slob. And then he cleans himself up and he loses a lot of weight and, you know, still stays in character, but you can tell that he's evolving and changing through the show as well. But all of the characters evolve. All of the characters change, as we all do, as we all should. We're all designed for change, whether we want to realize it or not. Even your body is meant for change. If you have your hands in the water too long, your fingers wrinkle up. Do you know why that is? It's so that you can grip things underwater easier. Your body adapts. Your body changes. I talked about in the last episode how every cell in your body is replaced within 7 years, and you're a completely different person in 7 years. Change is inevitable. What we do with that change is up to us. Now, you could be like some folks I know and do nothing, sit on the couch, breathe air, eat food, etc. But are you living? Or are you the kind of person that's going to say, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to experience something new. I'm going to go outside my comfort zone a little bit. That's what I'm going to do. I would like to think that I never quit being curious about learning new things. I think that our time on this earth is limited, and if we don't approach life as an opportunity, then what's the point? We have time on this earth. Let's learn to do some stuff. Let's enjoy the opportunity that we have with this time. Don't waste it. 91 years seems pretty old to people who are young. I'm getting ready to turn 45. So I'm almost half that age. If I look at it that way, then I've done a lot in the last 45 years. What if I challenge myself to do a lot with the last 45 years? My granny has some wonderful stories. She told me about after granddaddy passed away, growing up as a young girl in the South, Her parents were sharecroppers, and they had lots of siblings because back then you had lots of kids to work on the farm. You had to. Labor wasn't free. And if you wanted to make it, you had to have a bunch of kids. So she told me about being a little girl and being friends with a little girl who was black who lived on their land. And she said her mama used to tell her, don't let your daddy catch you playing with her. Because back then that was a no-no. You weren't supposed to be friends with black people back then. It's a different world. But she said, I had a favorite friend that we played together all the time. And I was just terrified that my daddy was going to find out. I was afraid of what he was going to do to me, and afraid of what he was going to do to her and her family. And she said, and I grew up knowing that wasn't right. My granddaddy Peak, when he went off to World War II, he fought and came back home. And they, together, helped start a church in Douglasville, Georgia, called Kingsway Academy. Basically because in their service, they talked about the fact that my dad had gotten a bus license and was busing in inner city kids to their church. And the people of the church, the old white people of the church, didn't like them bringing in black people into their church. But my granddaddy stood up and said, I fought beside black people in the war, and they deserve to know God just as much as we do. Whosoever knoweth me shall have eternal life. It doesn't say whosoever is black, whosoever is white, whosoever is green, purple, orange, whosoever wears the right t-shirt. Whosoever. That means everybody. He stood up for something that was right at the right time, at the right moment. And other people stood up in the church and said, I believe that too. And they started Kingsway Academy with 6 people in my granddaddy's basement. And now it's a huge mega church in Douglasville, Georgia. And they have an outreach community in multiple nations. They bus people in still to this day. They have a fleet of buses that go and pick up people and bring them to church. Anybody's invited. These people had a hand in raising me. They taught me that people were of value, no matter who they were. It's part of change. What could you change? What little act could you do to change people and change history? That's it. I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening to this. I hope you listened to the whole thing. I'm going to try and record something this weekend. But this may be the first weekend I don't get anything on here. We'll see. We'll see what I can pull off. Who knows? I've been consistent so far, 2 a week, right? So, anyway. If you get a private moment, kind of be quiet for a second and just say thank you. Thank you to all those before me who have made a change to make an impact in my life. Think about those people. Give reverence to those people. And then make a choice to be one of those people. That's my challenge to you. What could you do to inspire other people to plant their tree? It'll be shade for somebody someday. Thanks again. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And let's keep the conversation going. We control this. Nobody else. Thanks, y'all. Take care. Bye. Oh, I forgot to mention, cue the cow!